2 Timothy 2:15. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Before we get started, anybody have any questions, Bible questions? Anything been on your mind, on your heart? Anything about what we've went over the last few weeks? Psalm. Let's see here. Do more of a question and answer thing today and talk about a few things, but Psalm 83, where are we at? Yeah, I don't know where it is exactly, but...
Well, how about we flip over to Matthew 4?
Matthew 4?
Yeah. It's a different question. This is more along the lines of the outline I got here.
Matthew chapter 4. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just another claim of divinity.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's, of course, we need to also remember that the devil's using Scripture, trying to use Scripture on the Lord, and he'll do that to us too.
Yeah.
Verse 6 again, it says, "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So what he's doing is he's trying to order God to do things.
Right.
And God's answering, the Lord's answering with Scripture. And yeah, absolutely, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, because Jesus Christ is God. So there's another proof text against the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And that whole thing with the Mormons, they, you know... The problem is, if you go back to Genesis 3, what did the devil say? Ye shall be as gods. So, trying to get Eve to do something against God, saying that God just doesn't want you to be a god. Well, the Mormons go against the Bible, and they say, well, if you just do it our way, you'll be gods. If you do it God's way, you'll be a son of God. You'll be adopted into the family of God in the church age. They're lost on their way to hell. They couldn't find salvation with a telescope and searchlight from the airport. They need to. The unfortunate thing is, and the crazy thing is, they use the King James Bible.
Yeah.
And crazy stuff. But they don't know. They don't rightly divide. They don't understand any of it. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, all a whole bunch, you know, think they're working their way and they're going to be something other than what the Bible says and do something other than what the Bible says. Anything else? Anybody?
I could go for my own Bible a little bit, if that's okay.
Okay. We'll fill in the blank while you're looking.
Yeah.
Before the cross, what do we have here? Anybody? So Old Testament what? Law. At the cross, we have the death of the testator, which brings in the New Testament and the church age. After the church age, at the end of the church age, very near future, it looks like, hopefully today, what's going on here at the end of the church age?
Rapture.
What happens after the rapture on this earth? At the tribulation. And that tribulation is a time of Jacob's troubles. A time appointed to Daniel's people, the Jews. So it's not for the church. Matter of fact, the church is going to be gone. And then we're up here, judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper. We come back with Jesus Christ at the battle of, at the end of the tribulation, battle of what? Battle of Armageddon. And then Jesus Christ is on this earth with us, and then we have what? 1,000-year reign of Christ. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there's another battle. Gog and Magog. So, and then we'll go on into eternity. So there's our chart. So at the rapture, we're out, tribulation starts. Looks like 3.5 years, and 3.5 years, the first years is some kind of a false peace, and the last 3.5 years, the devil turns on Israel. And the world just tries to destroy everything, tries to get rid of the Jews. Jesus Christ, we come back with him at the Battle of Armageddon. Satan's bound for 1,000 years, and the beast, the false prophet, are cast into a lake of fire. That 1,000-year reign of Christ ends the Battle of Gog and Magog, and then Satan, after he's loosed for a short season here, he's cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. Then you got the white throne judgment up there in heaven and on into eternity. In Genesis? What are you talking about?
Like when you talk about the 3 days, could those be the thousands of years?
And tribulation?
Who was?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
Tribulation? Yeah.
That's 3.5 years and 3.5 years. It's a week of years. It's 7 years. So it's 3.5 years and 3.5 years. There's a day age theory in Genesis and the creation where they say God took 6,000 years to actually create the earth. Well, the problem with that is, we talked about this last week, is he creates the plants one day and then he creates the sun and stuff on the next, on another day. So that'd be thousands of years. The plants didn't have any sun. The days are actual 24-hour periods. So I don't have any trouble believing God did it in 6 days. I believe he could have done it in one.
Yeah.
But he done it in six. He set up a pattern and a type, and seventh day he rested. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this all works out here. I know God likes the number 7. He also likes the number 8, and he likes the number 9. So we're at the end of 6,000 years pretty much here. And I don't know exactly how he's going to work this out. All I know is it looks like the rapture should be really soon by the way the world's going. I mean, this place has turned into a dumpster that Noah would be ashamed to be in. He was in a mess in. But anybody, anything else, sister? I don't know exactly how that times out. And I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure on that. The marriage supper? The judgment seat. The bride makes herself ready. It says the bride has made herself ready. We got to get ready by being our purification of our works. Our works will be burnt off. And yeah. If you go look at the Old Testament, the Jewish women had a time of purification before their ceremonies. And that's a type of what's going to happen with the bride of Christ. So we're going to go up, and we're going to have this purification process, which is judgment seat of Christ. And then the marriage supper, the marriage, we're going to come back with Him. And we know we come back with Him because it says, she'll ever be with the Lord. So if we ever be with the Lord and we go up, then we have to come back with Him because He comes back. So yeah, that I don't know exactly how the time works out on that, but I know the judgment seat of Christ looks like it's first and then the marriage supper. Marriage. What's that? Well, it'll be not for our salvation, but for our works. Everything that we've done here on earth and the things we thought we'd done for Christ and what we really done for Christ. What goes through the fire and makes it, or what we really done, which actually is really what He's done through us. We got out of the way. The other stuff we done to get accolades from man or for self or pride, that stuff's going to burn up. Yeah, at the judgment seat of Christ, yep. And it says, ye shall suffer loss, but ye yourself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're going to be purified and brought through that thing. Our works will be burned up, a lot of them, but we won't. We're eternally secure in Christ, or the bride of Christ. I mean, if you think about the purification process in the Old Testament, they had to get rid of some things before they could be at their wedding ceremony, but they themselves made it to the wedding. And that's just like the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to get rid. We're going to lose some things. It's a purification process, but we're saved and sealed. Bad works. Yeah, the works we do here. Yeah, we get up here, and it's good. Actually, it's going to be a really technically, it's going to be a trying of righteousness. You know, what's unrighteous is going to be burned up. And what was righteous will be left. And what's righteous will actually be Him working through us. So that's what that's actually going to be. Like I say, He judges our works. You get over the great white throne judgment, people are judged by their works. And it says, those not found written in the Lamb's book of life, or those not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire. So at the great white throne judgment, people that have been taken out of the book of life, or the book of life, are gone. They're going to the lake of fire. But the people that did works here that God approved of, they're going to make it. It's going to be a works-based thing because they're judged by their works. There are some people that are going to make it through that great white throne of judgment from this period here at the end. What's that? Well, if you're in a church age and you go there, it's over for you. Because it's not our works, it's the righteousness of Christ. But you're looking at folks that were under a works system here. That's why dispensations are important. It's different here than it is here. Right here, you can take any mark you want. Everybody's marking themselves up with everything. I don't understand it. It looks like somebody give a Sharpie to a 3-year-old chimpanzee and let people put tattoos on them. I don't understand what's going on out there. I mean, if I was going to spend money on something like that, I'd get a good one, amen. I wouldn't get some rabid spider monkey to draw on me with a paintbrush. But here, you know, over here, you can take the mark. If you took the mark of the beast here, you wouldn't be in trouble. It's not going to be given here, but I mean, you can't lose your salvation. Over here, these people can lose their salvation. So this is works-based. This is works-based. And those people are going to be judged at the great white throne of judgment, whether or not they're in the book of life. See, everybody that's born is in the book of life. But if they get to a point where God's through with them, He takes them out of the book. Then they get over there, they're cast into the lake of fire. Well, right here, somehow God figures out their faith plus their works, and their works over here, and decides whether or not He keeps them in that book. Just like David. David did some terrible things, but he's still all right. You know, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He had, apparently his faith was strong enough that it overruled the bad works. So God's judging that thing, righteous judgment, the way God does. We can't look at it the same way God does right now. But yeah, when they get to the great white throne of judgment, if they're not in the book of life, they're done. We are in the Lamb's book of life, which is permanent. So there's a difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life, you're put in there when you call on Christ, trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and you're put in there eternally. But the book of life, you're put in there with a desire to be in there. God desires for you to be in there eternally. But you can lose it and get kicked out of that one. That's what he's talking about in Revelation. When he's talking about adding to or taking away from the book of life or the word. He says, if you take away from the words of this prophecy, I'll take away your part out of the book of life. Doesn't say Lamb's book of life, says the book of life. So there are people messing with God's word. You know, and here we are in the church age. If people are saved, they could do anything they want and not lose their salvation, but they can really mess up their testimony, mess up their judgment seat. But it's a stern warning. If he'll take somebody's name out of the book of life for messing with his word, what do you think he's going to do over here if somebody's messing with his word? Not talking about losing salvation, unless they're not saved, which a lot of people messing with God's word aren't saved. But, all right, anything else? Brother?
Do you know the reference where Jesus, I believe, is talking to the Jews, and they ask him where he got the wounds in his hands and everything? He says,
those are got in the house of my friends.
Where does that happen in the timeline?
I'd say it's right in here.
Okay, like at the Battle of Armageddon, right after?
Right after.
Okay. So right when the thousand-year reign is starting.
Yeah.
Because
they'll see him then.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to recognize the wounds and realize who did it. Our sin did it. Anybody else? So we talked about Genesis 1 through 4 a little bit the last couple weeks. In Genesis chapter 1, we'll turn there real quick. In Genesis chapter 1, we talked about the attack on God, the attack on the deity of Christ, the attack on creation. And the attack on the Bible, the biggest attack on the Bible is right there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's what they attack constantly. And that's why you got people running around, girls thinking they're boys, boys thinking they're girls, all that garbage. Because if they get them to believe that this is a lie, that God didn't do this, and they don't have anybody to answer to. And, you know, I don't think that they actually believe that. I just think it gives them more power, more fuel to rebel. Because man by nature has a rebellious spirit, a rebellious heart. So they teach them in school, well, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We know that can't be. They can't just create everything like that. Nothing. You can't get everything from nothing. They're not. They're getting everything from everything. God's everything. But then they say, well, everything come from nothing a bazillion years ago and it evolved. So their story is crazy. But they attack this verse and they get the kids through pride, because the kids go in there, they're young, they're impressionable, and they think, well, this person's got a piece of paper, this person's been doing this for years, this person knows what they're talking about. And most of them haven't had any Bible. If they are saved, they don't go to church, they don't go to a Bible-believing church, they don't know how to rightly divide, they don't have much faith, and they get their faith chopped away at by this person they're supposed to have respect for that they're paying to lie to them. So then they tell them, well, in the beginning God created, that's a fairy tale. And then they say, you can figure it out on your own. Is it this way or this way? Give them options even. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was the other, but anything but God. And then they'll say, well, if you insist in God existing in there, then maybe God started it and everything's evolved and he really doesn't have his hand in it at all now. Everything's just evolving on its own. Well, God set everything up to be eternal. God set man up to live eternally. God set the earth up to be eternal. God set the garden up to be a perfect place, and sin corrupted all this stuff. So they attack that verse to try to attack the faith of it. Matter of fact, if you got people in there that are born again, that believe the book, that love the Lord, that go to church, they will humiliate them directly and indirectly to make them feel guilty about believing the Bible.
Right.
And then they'll tell them a crazier thing than you could ever imagine. I've read some stuff in this Bible. It's like, good night, that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. I mean, it's not hard to believe that it happened. It's hard to believe how it happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how in the world? Only God could do that. But if you take only God could do that out, then it's a fairy tale. Right? You look at some of the stuff that's happening there, like the earth opening up and swallowing people up. You know, Elijah being fed at the brook and all this stuff. You go, I can't believe that. If you take God out of the equation, you can't. But if you believe Genesis 1:1, you can believe anything else in the Bible. If you doubt Genesis 1:1, that can get you to doubt anything else in the Bible. Mike?
I just watched a thing last night where they were trying, where Moses parted the Red Sea on his run from. And they tried to put it in a computer simulator, and after already moving it from the Red Sea to this other lake, they put a a wind did it, like the wind pushed, you know, over time, that land mass opening.
The Reed Sea, where it was really shallow?
Yeah.
That was a bigger miracle than the Red Sea, because then God drowned everybody in 2 foot of water.
Right.
So that's baloney. Yeah, I mean, they science falsely so-called. They try to throw some crazy thing out there to discredit it. It's crazy. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Brother?
Just to continue on with that, they found tons of chariot wheels and
yeah.
sorts of stuff underneath the Red Sea. Like,
yeah, they even found them. I think they had found one with gold on it or
yeah.
something that would have been Pharaoh's probably.
Yep.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, I mean, No, you have to take the Bible by faith to a certain extent.
Yep.
But after a while, listen to the opposition. It's like, that's the only thing that makes sense is the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? If you just take it by faith, God makes it so real to you, you don't even really need that much faith to believe it anymore. He'll show you from the opposite side. And, you know, you can take that verse, by their fruits you shall know them, and look at the fruit of the people that are against the Word of God. They're turning into fruits, right?
Yeah.
They're fruits and flakes. I mean, it's just they've lost their mind. They've lost their mind. And I remember sitting in philosophy class. The old boy was sitting up there with his shorts on and his sandals and leg crossed on the desk and his arms. And I mean, he's waxing eloquent on all the different philosophers, you know, and Socrates and Plato and all this stuff. And I'm sitting in there, I'm thinking, good night, man, just put me out of my misery. I can't take any more of this. That was the most boring class. I got a D in there because I didn't even show up half the time. I was like, you give me something to get me out of here. But, oh, yeah, and then, you know, I think, therefore I am. Okay, well, that doesn't think, but it is.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, I exist because I think. That makes it all about you.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and God scrambled your eggs where you can't think and you still exist. Amen. But it's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And philosophy and psychology and all that stuff that they try to use to, and don't get upset with me if you love James Dobson or whatever, but the Bible is the Bible. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. It's better to trust the Lord to put confidence in princes. The truth is, people could get more help from the Bible than they could medication if they actually put their faith in it. I'm not against medication in certain points. Crisis medicine, serious disease, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But people want to be medicated for everything. And how long ago, y'all remember, I know Terry and Nancy remember, we never seen a drug commercial. Never. Until what, 20 years ago? Matter of fact, they were probably illegal until 20 years ago.
Really?
But now you tell your doctor what you want.
Yeah.
And they're playing all this beautiful music. Do, 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 do. You know, I'm happy, happy, happy. You know, of course, the side effects are everything, but, you know, worse than what you know. You having trouble with an ingrown toenail? Well, tell your doctor you want to try Ginzambo. And then you try it, and the list of, you know, I mean, you could be dead in 14 minutes after you take that thing. And you go in and tell the doctor, hey, I want this. So what is it? He's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
At that point, he's a drug dealer.
Yeah.
You go tell him what you want, and he gives it to you because he's making money off of it. I have more respect for a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Amen. Because this guy's educated, supposed to be helping people. Sister?
Yeah, all those commercials too. Everybody gets those medication, but nobody looks sick. They're out boating or, you know, dancing or,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't line up with what they're...
Most of them have been to the buffet a few times. You know, and they're like, you're worried about this?
Yeah.
You know? If your blood sugar is 743, maybe you could tell your doctor you want this, this, and this. How about the doctor telling you what to eat? They don't do nutrition. Very little. Very little. All they do drugs. They're drug dealers. That's pretty much what they are. I'm not against all of them. Crisis medicine, you know, you get your arm chopped off, and you go to the emergency room, praise God, there's a doctor in there, could at least use a hot knife to seal that thing up, something. You know, you're having a situation where you got a situation you need help with a disease or process that's going on, that praise God. But for everyday living, we're not supposed to be trusting the worshiping the medical profession. We're supposed to be trusting His book. You know? And I'm not saying there aren't times and places for most medicine, or some medicine, not most. because most of it's just about money. You got 25 different medicines that do the exact same thing with different names.
Yeah.
That's money.
Yeah.
When the, you know, after a while, the patent runs out on one, so they create another one. They say, well, this works even better. Well, it's the same thing. They just changed the side chain on one of the chemicals in it and said, and got a new patent on it. Now they got another 20 years where nobody else can make it or whatever.
Yep.
It's all about money. And the truth is, a lot of the old stuff worked better than the new stuff.
Yep.
But it's gone because they don't make any money off of it. A lot of the natural stuff works as good or better than the old, than the medical professional stuff, prescription stuff, but they don't make any money off of it. That's what they do with a lot of it. 90% of pharmacia, witchcraft, pharmaceuticals, originally came from natural stuff that they couldn't make money on. They would take it in a lab and just change the side chain on it or change it a little bit so they could patent it. And they could say, well, this was aspirin, pretty much aspirin from this tree. And it worked really good without any side effects. But that's $10 a bottle. But we can make something for $500 a bottle that does have side effects, and you'll buy it. Amen. That's the way pharmaceutical started. So 90% of its basis come from natural stuff anyway, and they've just been changing and changing and changing since then. Matter of fact, they can't duplicate the power of morphine-type chemicals that your body produces. Endorphins, enkephalins, and all these different things that your body can do, they can't duplicate that. They can make something that's close with side effects, but they can't duplicate what God did to the exact. It's just amazing. Anybody else? Real quick. Okay, so here we are, Old Testament law, death of the testator, church age, rapture, tribulation time. While the tribulation is going on this earth, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, marriage of the Lamb, back at the Battle of Armageddon, the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of fire, and the thousand-year reign of Christ, battle of Gog and Magog, Satan's loose for a season, and battle of Gog and Magog, and he throws Satan into a lake of fire, and then you got the great white throne judgment. Now, let's see here. What was I wanting to say? The great white throne judgment, and we talked about that. Oh, the lake of fire. Does anybody remember why there's that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire? Why is hell not the same as it was in eternity? Where's hell right now? It's the center of the earth. What happens over here? New heaven and new earth. So if the earth passes away, there has to be a new place for hell. It's not in the center of the earth anymore. It's cast into a lake of fire. Then there's a new earth that doesn't have a hell. New heaven and new earth. New Jerusalem, new things. All right. If nobody has any questions, we'll wrap it up there for this morning. Anything? Comments? Questions? Naps? Anybody taking a nap? All right, so that's our basic dispensational breakdown. Of course, we know we've got other parts to break it down, like Genesis, innocence, and then conscience, human government, promise, law, church age, tribulation, millennial reign, all that.